It's great. From both sides of the ball, got good work in. It's great going against, you know, a great player, Fred Warner, who really knows the game of football, who handles a lot of stuff around the middle of the field. So it's good to get some experience to get that against him, against their DBs, and, you know, for the O-line, good, you know, to see some other D-linemen, how we can get better off of it.
Everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast, live training camp edition. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey. Nobody joining me today. This is a solo show, or as Nathan dubbed it, a graveyard shift here. We'll let some people file into this stream, recapping Titans 49ers joint practices today. A fun one. Out there, Titans training camp in Santa Clara, as the Titans have traveled to San Francisco in advance of their preseason game against the 49ers on Thursday. And practice was wild. It was really chippy. It was a WWE SmackDown fight, it felt like. So we're going to break down everything that happened in this training camp practice, including some offense struggles, some offense bounce back, and some red zone work. The defense had, I would call, a relatively tough day. Joey Sly got out there kicking. Haven't talked about the kicking issue the Titans have experienced yet on the Music City Audible at all, but dating back to Friday night scrimmage, we'll get an update on that. A handful of minor injuries that maybe a little eyebrow raising, but not too concerning at this rate. And some preseason Thursday night action, update on who's going to play from both sides, the Titans and the Niners. But we're going to start this thing out talking about the fight, because, you know, they go through the warm-ups, and as soon as they actually start playing football, this tweet here from David Lombardi, who covers the Niners, was out there at practice on Tuesday, said that there had been four fights already in the first 10 minutes. Another report had said that there had been three fights in the first six plays, and it sounded a lot like it was actually the 49ers who were the ones causing all the fights. Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports in San Francisco said, "Embarrassing start to practice for the 49ers defense. They haven't made a play, and they are instigating scuffles after nearly every whistle in their joint practice against the Titans." David Lombardi, again, had some notes about who was involved in these scuffles. Upton Stout, apparently very involved in one. He apparently hit, I think it was him who hit Wandale Robinson way out of bounds on the sideline, or knocked him out of bounds at the sideline, really aggressively started a fight. There was a play where a 49ers defender shoved Cam Ward in the backfield, and that started another fight. Multiple Titans players were ejected from practice by the staff, including Austin Deculus first for swinging a punch at a 49ers player. And then later in the practice, Dan Moore and Oza Odighizuwa got into it and were apparently rolling around on the ground, scrapping at each other. And then Dan Moore also got kicked out of practice. Great comment from Roster Grids here. "Anyone who didn't fight today is soft." Yeah, that's one way to put it. It really did sound like the 49ers just came out with intentions to fight the Titans. I mean, that tweet from Matt Maiocco calling it an embarrassing start to practice. Like, I think it's fun. It's fine. It's chippy. It's great to, like, this is their first time going up against an opponent who isn't on their team, right? For both sides here, both teams, for the first chance to go up against a different opponent than they've seen all throughout training camp so far. And it's the first time since week 18 against the Jaguars that the Titans have faced an opponent who isn't themselves. So it's been a long time. They've been hitting each other a lot the last couple of weeks in training camp. Finally get to line up across from somebody else. But, I mean, there's chippy, and there's feisty, and fiery, and aggressive, and fast, and violent, and whatever you want to call it. And then there's, like, unproductive training camp fights. Six plays into the practice, and you already have three fights. Like, that's just wasting everybody's time. I did love what Cam Ward said at the podium after practice when asked if he's got to go have a talk with Austin Deculus and Dan Moore about, you know, putting themselves in a position to get thrown out of practice. And he was like, "No. That's for the coaching staff to worry about. I got their back. They did exactly what they were supposed to do, and they're going to have my back, and I'm going to have their back." And I really liked that take from Cam Ward. I think that's leadership showing he's got his guys back. It isn't his job to make sure that these guys are following the rules of practice and not getting tossed out. That's on the coaches. That's on the O-line coach primarily, or assistant O-line coach, to go have a conversation with them and say, hey, we need to get the work in, but if you're going to do something that causes you to get ejected in a game, then you're going to get ejected from practice. And so it goes both ways. It's like, on the one hand, I don't really care for that kind of a training camp practice. It's fun to report on. Sure, it's fun to talk about a big fight that happened at training camp. But for the most part, I'd rather they just like put the work in, keep that aggression in between the whistles. Once the whistle blows, get back to the huddle, get ready for the next play. I don't know how everyone else feels about it, but I'd love to hear how you guys think, what you guys think of all the fighting here in the comments. We have one here from Rude Ska Boy. I love it. This team hasn't had any fight in the last 2 years. LFG. Lauren, I got the notification. What the hell happened today? That's what we're talking about now. We're going to cover everything that happened at practice. Free Fireball says, I'm okay with anyone but Cam fighting. They got to bubble wrap him until week one. I do agree with this take too. And Cam Ward was asked about this after practice because he did end up in the middle of one of the skirmishes, which is a little crazy. I mean, this is your starting quarterback. You don't need him to be in the middle of a training camp fight like this. But hang on, I had a tweet on this one as well here from Antonio Gonzalez out there at practice in Santa Clara, who said, Cam Ward right in the middle of it, going nose to nose with 49ers Dre Greenlaw and D'Amador Lenore. I do believe that Cam Ward threw a pick six possibly on the play after this one, is what Paul Kaharski said, or maybe that was after a different fight. There were too many fights. It's hard to keep track of all the fights that there were today, and when Cam Ward threw a pick six right after a fight, if they have five fights in the middle of practice. But yes, Cam Ward did get right in the middle of one of them, which, like, you got to be smart, Cam. He said Brian Daboll had a talk with him about that, that like he told him he should stay out of those things. But Cam said Daboll knows, like, I'm one of the guys. I'm going to be in there. I'm going to be in the middle of it. And this is another like double-edged sword, because on the one hand, you love that your quarterback, like if you're playing, if you're one of Cam Ward's teammates, you love that your quarterback is in the middle of it with you, has your back just as much as you have his back. At the same time, if you're a coach of the team or a player on the Titans or a fan like us or somebody who covers the team like me, you don't want Cam Ward to put himself in any danger at all. Stay out of harm's way. Even an incidental dumb fight like this that could lead to an accident that results in an injury would be catastrophic to the entire season. So you got to be smart and pick your spots about when you're going to get in there. But you do kind of love it a little bit too at the same time. Cam Ward also talked about how he was jawing at these guys, at Fred Warner, and how Fred Warner's not used to quarterbacks talking. He used the S word, talking smack, in a practice. So he was getting both sides going. But I do agree that like the team needs to prove that they are not pushovers and that they won't just let, you know, a clearly like, I mean, you're going to get this maybe at some point in the regular season if you're a good team and if you're beating up on an opponent is in the third and fourth quarter when they've just become frustrated with how the day's going. Like, they might start getting chippy and they might start coming at you. And you do got to let people know that you're not going to lay down and that you're going to be, that you're going to back up your talk and that you're going to be tough. But at the same time, it just feels like it was a little extra, the fighting that went on at practice today. Like, they did not need to do as much fighting as they did. But we can talk about the Titans practice more as a whole, how the offense performed, because the offense struggled a bit in this practice, and I don't think that that's a bad thing to say. It also depends on who you read, because some of the beat writers, especially Titans beat writers, Paul Kaharski, Buck Rising, were going on about how bad the Titans looked in this practice, especially on offense. Paul Kaharski had this tweet. Give me 1 second. Paul Kaharski had this tweet. Titans offense ran about 30 plays. This was in the first period or two of practice. It wasn't the entire practice. 49ers were the aggressors and tone setters early. Tennessee responded with some good short and mid-range play. Would have liked to have seen more against what should be a mediocre pass rush. Nick Bosa was not practicing. He's dealing with knee tendonitis, Kyle Shanahan said after practice, and is considered week to week right now. Their first-round pick, Michael Williams, still working back from his torn ACL suffered last year. So, you want to see more, I think, than that. Here's another tweet from Paul. I was with the offense, which found nothing explosive, got pushed around too often, and sacked too much. He didn't watch the defense, so he said, word of mouth on defense was bad. Titans definitely lost the day. Just a day, but it did nothing to help any hype. So the offense mostly struggled in their first test going up against an opponent that isn't themselves. We'll talk about the defense in a second, but there were other reports from the 49ers beat writers that the Titans offense wasn't struggling, that the Titans offense actually did pretty well out there in joint practices. I'll go through it more play-by-play here in a second, but here's a tweet from Ted Nguyen, who's been on this podcast at one point in time, friend of the show, who said, Cam Ward having a nice day, finding completions in rhythm. And Cam talked about this after practice because Paul asked him directly, like, what was the problem with the struggles to hit stuff down the field? Like, was it hard to find big gains and explosives today? And Cam was like, no, it wasn't hard. If they're going to play off coverage and back up, then we're going to check it down and make them tackle Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard. So this is something that's sort of being drilled into the offense's mind, and especially Cam Ward's head when it comes to his decision making, is that if it's not there deep, just take the easy completion and check it down. It may be too soon for me to start worrying about this. I worry about things, you know me. But I'm maybe a little bit worried that they're like overemphasizing this and that he's going to take too many easy checkdowns and pass up potential big plays. And, you know, explosive plays are what drive offensive success, not checkdowns and dink and dunk and 15 play drives that you have to avoid penalties and whatever else. So he is leaning hard right now. Cam Ward and Brian Daboll are both leaning hard right now into take the easy completion, check it down. You can tell from the way Cam answered that question that, like, if they're going to leave him open underneath, I'm going to hit him. At the same time, that can definitely work. And what'll happen, Robert Saleh talked about it last week, is what'll happen is the defense will start getting frustrated that they're giving up all these underneath completions. They'll come up and start playing tighter coverages, and they'll expose themselves in the back end. And that, as an offense, is when you can take advantage of that kind of defense. I'm going to take a break from my rambling here and read some of the comments that are coming in because there's a question from Lauren Sebring. Who's the winners and losers of today? That's an interesting question. I haven't thought of framing it that way in my mind, so give me a sec to think about it, and I'll come back to you on that one. Reading comments, excuse my delays in talking. And I'm reading... Yeah, Sir Kendall the Yapper, it read much differently from the San Fran guys. Like, it really read like a successful Titans practice from the San Fran guys. I've also got this tweet from Nick Suss. Give me one quick little second here. I lost it. Who said he had Cam Ward at 5 for 9 through two team periods, which that doesn't sound like struggling to me, but what do I know? One nice intermediate cross to Wandale, an out route conversion to Tate. Also underthrew an open Ridley, missed over the middle late on a miscommunication, and mostly checked down the rest of the time. There was a later play in a red zone period in practice where Cam had Carnell Tate apparently wide open and it sailed on him. There were some misses by QB1 in today's practice. Maybe a tiny bit of a regression. If you listen to the pod this morning I did with Easton Freeze, we talked about how Cam had a good day to start training camp, a not so good day the next day of training camp. Couple practices later, had the two interception day, and from that point on, for the last like week and a half, he'd been basically getting better in every single practice. Sounds like today maybe was a bit of a step back, but if he's taken one step back to then take two steps forward, or three or four or five steps forward, which is what he did for most of training camp so far, then I will accept that today was maybe a bit of a step back. Robert Saleh also said they know this scheme. Well, that was in regards to the defense. So wait, let me come back to that point. I confused myself there for a second. But anyway, yeah, the point is conflicting reports about how good or bad the offense was today. Paul Kaharsky, like I said, Buck Rising, very hard on the offense. Whereas the other reporters, the Niners reporters that were out there, seemed to be a little bit more impressed with the Titans offense. I don't know. It's hard to get a good read on it. We'll get a much better read of what the Titans offense looks like in preseason action on Thursday night for a couple of series at least. Andrew with the comment, what Titan was injured? There were four Titans that are dealing with some injury concerns. I will hit on that towards the end of the stream. This is a good comment from Annie Freeze two times. I take reports with a grain of salt. Hate to say it, some reporters have agendas or bias they have, and it reflects in the reporting mixed information. I agree. I also saw somebody tweet, I think it might have been Easton, somebody tweeted right as practice was starting that during joint practices, it always feels like the beat writers of the team that they don't usually cover, they think that the team, like, sorry, that's, I'm explaining this terribly. basically, the idea is that like 49ers beat writers are going to say the Titans look better than the Niners, and Niners beat writers are going to say, and Titans beat writers are going to say the Niners look better than the Titans. Like when you've seen the same team practice 10 times in a row, and then you see a new team come in, you're just like naturally inclined to like be like, oh wow, we haven't seen our guys do that. So this team might look like they're practicing a little better. And it certainly felt like the Titans beat writers were hard on the Titans offense, and the 49ers beat writers were like, wow, the Titans offense looks pretty good. Maybe have to do with expectations, what you're expecting that, you know, what are 49ers beat writers who haven't paid any attention to the Titans at all expecting from the Titans offense that was one of the worst in the league last year? Probably have pretty low expectations. Then Cam Ward comes in and he's hitting the nice checkdowns, making good, quick decisions. And they're probably like, oh, wow, this Titans offense looks better than I expected. Meanwhile, the Titans beat writers watched Cam Ward connect with Carnell Tate for 3 touchdowns in Sunday's practice. And now they go out against the 49ers. They're not hitting stuff down the field. They're struggling to protect. Fights are breaking out every other play. And they're like, this doesn't look like the same productive Titans offense we've seen. They're struggling today. I think that's kind of how I'm reading all of this. I'd love to hear in the comments if you guys agree or don't agree. It was Austin, thank you, who said that beat writers from teams always feel like the other team is doing a little bit better. It is hard to find a time where Paul Kaharsky is happy or satisfied, but he also keeps it real, and I really appreciate Paul's work. And I appreciate all these guys, the Titans beat especially, who traveled to Santa Clara to cover this practice. Appreciate that they're there so we have some stuff to talk about on today's show. I don't necessarily think that the local media just dumps on our team. I can understand it getting annoying and frustrating when they seem to be a little bit more negatively tilted most of the time. But I also think they're just trying to keep it real, and they're banging up against fan expectations who are always over the top and a little bit pumping up everything that happens this time of year too much. I'm guilty of that, certainly. And the beat writers are like, you know, we've seen this story before and it didn't end very well for you as a fan. So like, let's keep the cautious lid on the optimism here. I think that's more what it is than just, you know, dumping on the team. I will get to some of these questions in a bit. Interesting comment from Informed Watcher. The Cam pick doesn't concern me because immediately after Moore got ejected, Cam got pressured from both sides and then threw it. Yes, I did read that that's how that play unfolded. It was the play after Dan Moore got ejected. Cam Ward had to sidestep and then step up to evade pressure. Some people noted that it could have even been a sack before he got the throw off and kind of threw it while he was on the move forward. And the ball sailed over the top of his target right into the hands of the Niners player, who apparently had a 99-yard pick six because this happened in a red zone drill. So obviously not an ideal play there, but it's also training camp, and it's, again, their first chance to even test themselves against another team. All right, I'm going to take a quick break here, come back, talk about the red zone period where the Titans offense was much better. Then we're going to hit on the Titans defense and the other stuff that I have to talk about. We'll be right back. You know that 6 p.m. moment where dinner's supposed to happen, but there's nothing in the fridge? That used to be every Tuesday of my life. But now, I keep the freezer stocked with Omaha steaks. Tender steaks, flavorful burgers, even seafood, chicken, sides, not just steak, all delivered right to my door. Arrives frozen and ready to go. Yes, frozen delivery can be that good with Omaha steaks. Because it's steakhouse quality without steakhouse prices. I grilled the ribeye burgers last weekend. They were beefy, juicy, and actually these burgers tasted like a steak. Because it is steak, ground from real cuts. If you've never tried Omaha Steaks, start with the Burger Perfection Flight. Comes with 20 premium steak burgers from 5 distinct cuts, including filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you can get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You've heard us talk about BetterHelp for the past month or so now, but I don't know that we've ever actually talked about how much people love this service when they use it. You can check it out yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews to see amazing customer reviews in real time. And these reviews are updated every day, with hundreds of people saying how much they love BetterHelp and how helpful it's been to them. Please visit betterhelp.com/reviews to see for yourself. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5, based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. The feedback from people who have actually used the service speaks for itself. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. They also hold all required education, training, and certifications across a range of mental health specialties. BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. Just answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and switch therapists at any time if it's not the right fit. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back, audio audience. Let's move along here and talk about the offense in the red zone period where they were reportedly better. Cam Ward hit Calvin Ridley for a touchdown on a short play. He also did throw the pick six in the red zone drills, but overall, it sounded like he had a decent day in the red zone, and that was where the offense kind of bounced back a bit. In addition to, you know, a third team period, I believe that the team bounced back hitting those checkdowns in the flat and hitting the running backs out of the backfield and just, again, taking the easy completions. But it is good to see, like, when you get into that condensed area of the field, that's where the passes, timing has to be perfect. Passes have to be pinpoint. We saw Cam Ward throw that touchdown to Gunnar Helm in the Nissan Stadium scrimmage in a red zone drill. We saw him throw multiple touchdowns to Carnell Tate in a red zone drill on Sunday's practice. It sounds like the Titans are continuing to harp on the red zone. I think I saw an interesting graphic get tweeted out that showed EPA per play in the red zone and EPA per play outside the red zone last season. The Titans were one of the best teams EPA per play in the red zone, believe it or not. They didn't get to the red zone very often, but one of the better teams in that category. They were the worst team EPA per play outside the red zone. The Giants, under Brian Daboll, were the exact opposite. They were terrible in the red zone and pretty good outside the red zone. So Brian Daboll just came from a team where his team did not execute well in the red zone at all. And coming into this team, probably wants to make sure that doesn't happen again, so they've been putting a lot of emphasis and a lot of focus on the red zone. I'm glad they had a chance to work that today against a different defense and a different look there. So that is the red zone report. I'm going to move on and talk about the Titans defense, which struggled quite a bit in this practice overall. And I should mention one more note on the offense. The Titans offense ended the day with a 2-minute drill that did not go well for them. Ted Wynn called it an ugly 2-minute drill. Cam Ward trying to work the hard count, but Titans got called for 2 false starts in a row. Like, your quarterback's working on the hard count and the offensive line is false starting. Now, keep in mind, Dan Moore's already been ejected. His backup has also been ejected, so he's working with Brendan Crenshaw-Dixon out there. Apparently, the last play of the game was Cam Ward taking a sack that was, it wasn't really, it was ruled a sack. He kind of tried to scramble forward on maybe third or fourth down. They moved the ball a little bit in this 2-minute drill, but ultimately did not end up making ultimately it did not go very well for them in that drill. So anyway, moving on to the Titans defense. Let's put this tweet on the screen here. What happened? Give me 1 second putting this tweet on the screen. There it is. David Lombardi, who says that Brock Purdy, Deebo Samuel, and Dejon Stribling saw plentiful success versus the Titans defense, especially in the red zone. The 49ers offense was absolutely on fire in their own red zone drill. 49ers offense showed what it needed to show today, even without Christian McCaffrey and Mike Evans. Mike Evans did return to the practice field, but didn't take part in the team period drills. He's missed five practices before this one with a quad injury. And David Lombardi also said, defense remains the wild card. They made several big plays, including the pick six, lots of pressures, but also gave up more than they'd like versus Tennessee in the red zone. Seemed like the Titans were getting some solid interior push in the run game, though it's hard to tell in practice format. Also an interesting note there. After practice, Kyle Shanahan said, Brock Purdy had an excellent practice, not many bad plays, no interceptions. Purdy finished real strong, closed with a 2-minute drill, and the final play was him running the ball around the left side across the goal line and avoiding contact while he's at it. And we'll come back to some other notes from practice in a bit. But Titans defense got cooked. today by Kyle Shanahan. This is where Robert Saleh, I tried to reference this earlier, I was in the wrong spot. This is where Robert Saleh said, Kyle knows this defense. He knows our scheme. He knows how to attack us. He's been practicing against us for years. So, look, am I a little bit concerned about the secondary getting cooked? They gave up an 80-yard touchdown to rookie Deshaun Stribling in this practice. They failed to stop them in the two-minute drill, and they gave up a bunch of touchdowns in the red zone. Like, I'm a little bit concerned about that, but it's also still a practice where, yes, there's hitting and there's pads and there's contact, but there's not real tackling. So it's interesting that, like, you know, they can't sack Brock Purdy, and the Titans, the strength of this Titans defense is going to be their ability to pressure and sack quarterbacks and give the secondary help in that way. John Franklin Myers still not practicing due to his lower back tightness. Robert Saleh did say he expects him back next week, but you're missing one of your two key interior defensive pressure guys there. Jacob Martin also left this practice with an injury that they don't believe is serious, but that's, you know, one of your starting ends missing as well. So a lot of guys missing there from the Titans defensive front that is going to be the engine of their defense. On top of going against an offensive play caller who knows the scheme inside and out, on top of the fact that you're not game planning to try to take anything away or you know, attack this offense in any specific way. Again, you can hand wave away any concern you want during training camp time because it's that time of year. So I don't want to hand wave away everything. There is a chance the Titans defense isn't that good, you know, but they have good games and bad games. Defense is also getting harder to play in the NFL, and the kickoff rules are giving the offense such an advantage on where they start with the ball, field position wise, et cetera, et cetera. There's lots of things you can talk about there, but like, it wasn't a great day for the defense. That's the bottom line. Is it a reality check? In some ways, you know, Buck Rising called today's practice a reality check for Titans fans who are letting their expectations get carried away. Maybe this is what we needed. You know, the last few shows I've done on this here channel have pumped up the hope, the optimism, and the expectations for the Titans this season. Maybe it's good. We rein those in a little bit. What do I always say? You know, the expectations are a thief of joy, you know, because they lead to disappointment. If you have low expectations, you can't be disappointed. Maybe today was a good day for all of us to just reset our expectations a little bit. This is still a rebuilding team. We'll be very happy if they win 7 games. That'll show tremendous progress over what they were the last 2 seasons. That doesn't mean they're a playoff team. That means there's, you know, December's going to come and probably not be that exciting anymore. But if they can just go out there and show growth, I think that we need to remember that that is improvement. Don't give me the crying emojis in the comments here. It's not that bad. We don't know anything. This doesn't mean anything. Today's practice doesn't mean anything. I do think the Niners won the practice overall, which is sort of, I don't want to say expected, but I mean, the Niners were one of the best teams in the league last year, despite a million injuries. Yeah, they've been banged up in training camp, but they're still a very well-run team with a very strong foundation. The Titans, first year under Saleh, second year under Borgonzi, second year quarterback, lots of new faces. Obviously, most of the coaching staff is new. Many players are new, and they're still trying to figure each other out. This is their first time ever playing against an opponent that isn't themselves, even in practice. So the O-line was not good today. The O-line was struggling a lot against a 49ers team that is down a bunch of pass rushers, but still made a lot of noise in the backfield. Yeah, the O-line anxiety is real. It has been many years in a row that the O-line has struggled. And, you know, Austin Schlotman appears to be playing decently well. They, you know, said that report was the Titans were getting some interior push in the run game, which is hard to judge in a, you know, practice setting, but Fernando Carmona got more reps with the first team offense today, which makes me wonder. You know, he got some reps in Sunday's practice. He got some reps in the Friday night scrimmage, I think, or maybe it was Thursday's practice. But like, it's starting to be more than just, hey, let's see if this rookie can hang with the first team for a few plays, you know, just in case somebody gets hurt on a Sunday and he's got to get in there. Let's see what he can, you know, Robert Saleh talked about that towards the beginning of training camp, that you're going to see some guys in there working with the first team that you know are not starters. That's just to make sure everybody gets to work in there. We see what everybody has, and that if they had to go in a game situation, they'll be more prepared. I don't know if that's what's happening with Carmona anymore. This has been a lot of days in a row that he's getting some work with the first team. He may be emerging in this right guard competition, which could either be taken. Yeah, there's 3 ways to take it. Either Jackson Slater and Cordell Volson are disappointing, and they're like, let's see if anyone else can go win this job. Or The other way to take it is Fernando Carmona is impressing, and it doesn't matter how good Jackson Slater and Cordarrelle Volson are or aren't. This guy's ready, possibly, earlier than maybe we planned for. And the third way to read it is that you're going to have a good backup because they feel good about feel good enough about Carmona that they're putting him out there with the first team already. And then if he doesn't, if he's your backup or your third string, even like if you at least feel like you have decent amount of depth there. So that's an interesting place to be. Some injury stuff. I mentioned most of them a little bit there, but let's go through the full four-player injury report here. Jacob Martin left with a knee injury. Jackie Marshall was out with an oblique injury, the rookie defensive tackle. Flott left early. That was precautionary, according to Robert Saleh. And JFM still out with that lower back, but like I said, expected back next week. Austin Deculus and Dan Moore tossed for fighting, as we already covered. The big one that is eyebrow-raising to the level of potentially concerning here is Jacob Martin. Will Jacob Martin be okay? Will this be a long-term thing? Probably won't play in Thursday's preseason game, which leads me to another point. The Titans plan to play their starters in the preseason. The 49ers do not. So we'll preview this game later on this week, what to watch for in the preseason matchup. But one thing to watch for is, can the Titans starters dominate against the 49ers backups? Because that is something I would like to see, even without the game planning element that goes with, you know, it's a preseason game. I'd like to see the Titans first string offense go out there and say, we're playing backups. We're playing against backups, I should say. We should beat them. We should score a touchdown or two. Saleh said they'll get at least more than a series, he said specifically. So hopefully that means two or three series. And one last thing I want to talk about before I get to some questions here is Joey Sly in the kicking game. Joey Sly missed two makeable field goals in Friday night's Nissan Stadium scrimmage. The next day, or maybe the day after the next day, Saturday or Sunday, the Titans brought in and worked out like four different journeyman kickers who have had ups and downs throughout their career. They didn't sign anybody. They don't have another kicker on the roster. It's just Joey Sly. They haven't really looked to do anything at this position until they brought in these guys for workouts. But in practice today, in Santa Clara against the Niners, Joey Sly was good from 35, 33, 38, 39, 41, 44 yards. Buck Rising said he had 7 for 7. There's obviously only 6 distances here in PK's tweet. But 7 for 7, that's a great day for Joey Sly. Is he hearing footsteps, you know, as the Titans are working out kickers after he struggled in Friday night scrimmage? And that wasn't his first struggle of training camp, by the way. There was practices out there at Vanderbilt Health, whatever it's called now. Formerly St. Thomas, whatever it is. I don't even know the name of the practice facility anymore, but there's been days where Sly's missed kicks, and he missed two on, like I said, on Friday night, but he was good today. I do think, you know, the Titans could probably upgrade at kicker, especially in a league where, you know, you got a team in your own division with a guy who can knock through 70 yarders in Cam Little for the Jaguars. So, like, the Titans could be at a disadvantage with the kicking game, with the kicker that they have. One thing that this team cannot afford to do is show real progress, show that they are ready to compete for a playoff spot, and then have games lost because Joey Sly can't make kicks, makeable kicks. And never mind the fact the advantage it adds when your kicker can bang it through from 65 or 70 yards. Joey Sly, I mean, I don't even know if they're going to ask him to try from 65 or 70 yards. He's got to make 48 yarders. He's got to make 53 yarders. Like, these are distances that he's got to make that he struggled to do on Friday night. So I don't think the Titans should just sign a kicker off the street right now. Like, I don't think you're going to find an improvement there. There's a reason these guys are on the street. Lots of teams in training camp right now have multiple kickers in camp, and only one of those guys is going to make each roster, okay? At the end of the roster cutdowns, if some team thinks they've discovered a rookie kicker or they're trying to sneak that rookie kicker onto a practice squad so they cut him, that's the time to go try to find Joey Sly's replacement. I'm not saying that they will or won't, but if I was in charge and I was trying to find a replacement for Joey Sly, I would be watching tape of preseason kickers, and I would wait till after cutdown day to decide if I wanted to replace him. Question here. How does Emile Wagner look? Sounds like Deculus isn't cutting it. Look, I mean, if nobody's reporting on how Emile Wagner's looking. I think he's running with the third team right now. This is the kind of question you should ask me after a preseason game. Again, I'm not at practice. I'm relying on the reports that are coming out of practice. Nobody's talking about Emile Wagner. Sorry to disappoint you, Gavis, but we do know Austin Deculus ain't it. And I still think the Titans need a swing tackle, and maybe that's a late August trade a seventh round pick for somebody else's swing tackle. Maybe it's a roster cutdown day type of deal where they go get somebody, or maybe they'll sign one of these free agents. That all these free agents that we've been talking about are still out there, the tackles. Nobody's moved. Even Kevin Zeitler hasn't signed anywhere yet. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely think that there is an issue there, but I want to answer some live chat questions. So get them in the chat. I have a few starred, but not nearly enough to carry a segment. So going to hit those questions right after this break. Welcome back, audio audience. All right, going to answer some chat questions here as we get ready to wrap up this stream following the Titans' joint practice with the 49ers. Just some final thoughts on the practice before I get to it is, overall, I think this is a productive and healthy thing the Titans are doing. We will get, a much better measuring stick checkup next week when they joint practice with the Seahawks, because this, again, this is their first taste of any kind of activity that doesn't involve going up against their own teammates. And the fact that the practice was more or less derailed 10 plays in by multiple training camp fights, it kind of takes away from what you think you can learn about this team, the amount of work that they're really able to get. Now, all the reports is that things cooled down after those first active minutes and, you know, people got their heads on straight. But by that point, the Titans were down two linemen, their starting left tackle and his backup. So, like, that makes things a lot different when you don't have the guys that you're going to be counting on to have all year. I mean, even if Dan Moore misses time, you at least expect to have his backup. But in this case, they didn't have either guy because they got tossed out of the practice for fighting. On the other side, like the defense going up against Brock Purdy, who, you know, again, Kyle Shanahan knows the defense. So I'm trying to take away too much from that. You also didn't have Cordell Flott for the whole practice. Again, just a precautionary thing with him being pulled out of practice. But I think I'm excited for the Seahawks joint practices. That's a chance that they'll have a preseason game under their belt. They'll have a chance to practice again as a team. They'll host Seattle in Nashville. And then we'll get a chance to see, like, how does this Titans team stack up against the Super Bowl champions, hopefully in a practice that isn't derailed by a million fights right off the bat. I believe the Titans are fourth in the waiver order. I'm not 100% sure if that's accurate, but I'm pretty sure it goes according to draft order, at least until, like, week three of the regular season. So I'm pretty sure the Titans are fourth in the waiver claim order here. Good question from Jones Score. Bruce Bako has a question. What's more pressing, swing tackle or right guard? I'm leaning swing tackle. I think swing tackle is way more pressing. And it's kind of funny because right guard, we're talking about a starter. But I think that one of these three options that they now seem to have, we thought it was two options for a long time. It now seems like three options between Jackson Slater, Cordell Volson, and Fernando Carmona. One of those guys is going to emerge and win the starting job. It would be really cool and good for the future of this team if Fernando Carmona was that guy, and if he proves himself capable of being the starter by week one, that's huge for everyone involved. I mean, that's a win for Borgonzi. That's a young, cheap 4 years of draft, you know, rookie contract control for a starting right guard. That'd be great. Pat Coogan's also been working a lot as the second team center. So Jackson Slater also has had some work at center. They're moving these guys. They're figuring out where they're going to eventually line up and who's going to be the depth. But I definitely think swing tackle is more pressing because, you know, if J.C. Latham twists his ankle tomorrow or, you know, getting off the team plane on the way back from the preseason game, like the Titans are in big trouble if that happens. I am not exactly sure what the latest cap number for the Titans is. It doesn't really matter this time of year. I mean, they're not going out and making a big signing at this rate. I don't imagine that Skaronski's cap hit for this year went up. If anything, I'd imagine it went down. I haven't really looked at the exact breakdown of Skaronski's contract. It might just be nothing. It might kick in next year, right? I mean, he was already under contract for this year and next year before signing this big extension. So I can look this up real quick if you guys don't mind and see what his cap hit changed to this year. They haven't updated it in SpoTrack. His cap hit was set to be $6.2 million on the rookie deal. I can look at how much cap space the Titans have right now. Again, it doesn't really matter, but they have $53 million still in cap space, second most in the NFL. So if they wanted to go sign somebody big, they could, but I don't know. I do not really think the Titans... Well, actually, this is an interesting question. Will the Titans look at available cornerbacks and defensive backs? I mean, they have. They've already cut and signed three guys, right? They've been churning at that position, so I think that they probably feel pretty good about their top five, which would be Alante Taylor, Cordell Flott, Marcus Harris, Micah Robinson, Josh Williams, Marco Robinson. That's their top five. And then from there, it's been guys that have been brought in the last week or two. So maybe one of those guys gets churned into a waiver claim. Wouldn't be surprising, but... comment here from Inryu Hez. We're not going to go far in the playoffs if we don't fix our O-line issues. I mean, I would worry about making the playoffs before we talk about going far in the playoffs, which is the response here from Junk Score. We are not making it to the playoffs, unfortunately. I mean, if this team makes the playoffs, they vastly overachieve. That's the reality here, echoed here by Far Sendor. I don't think Titans are going to even get close to the playoffs. I expect them to win 4-6 games. 2027 is when I expect them to take the big step. I mean, that's probably the realistic path for this team. I'll still say that I think 7 wins is doable if the defense plays well, if Cam Ward takes a big step. Melo is in Portugal. He's on vacation. He's out all week. He will be back on Monday. Tomorrow, I'll be doing another solo show. Not sure what to do yet. Drop your thoughts in the comments what you want my show tomorrow to be about. Thursday, I've got a very special guest group actually coming on the show to preview the Titans preseason game. Friday, I've got an old friend coming on to guest co-host the recap. So tomorrow will be my last graveyard shift solo show. And I agree with Roster Grids here. 4 wins will be an absolute travesty. I mean, 4 wins is barely better than last year. If they only win 4 games, something went wrong. Somebody got hurt or they've hired the wrong guy again, which I do not think is the case right now, which is why I think it would be very surprising if they only win 4 games next year. Lauren, I didn't forget about your question. Winners and losers of today. I still haven't thought of a good answer, though. I don't know. Winners. Sounded like the run game. Maybe Fernando Carmona belongs in the winner category. Losers, like the entire defense. Apparently, there was a rep where Dominic Pooney put Jeffrey Simmons on his back. Not exactly what you want to see, but who knows the context of that. That was tweeted by a 49ers fan/beat writer. You know, those like me, fan/coverage, but I'm not at practice tweeting play-by-play. Covered the injuries. How many series? Good question by Glammy Boy. How many series do you think the Titans starters are going to get on Thursday? I think it'll be 3 or 2. I think if they go 3 and out, it might be 3. If they run 7 plays and punt, it might be 3. If they score a touchdown on either of their first 2 drives, they probably only get 2 drives. If they score a touchdown on their opening drive, they might not even get a second one. It might be one of those deals. But Saleh hasn't really said exactly what the plan is. He did say everyone who's healthy will play. But that's sort of the expectation is that we'll get some starter action. Saleh was actually asked if he expected all 4 quarterbacks to play in the Thursday's preseason game. And he said yes. He's expecting all 4 quarterbacks to play, but he's not sure if they'll be able to do that. Depends on how many offensive snaps they get to run. You know, if they have like 3 or 4 long sustained drives with Cam Ward and Mitch Trubisky leading the offense, there may not be enough time left in the game. If those drives eat up a lot of clock for Hendon Hooker to get on the field. Will Levis also threw an interception today in practice. So just, you know, putting that out there that happened again. All right. I think that is going to do it. If the starters go 3 and out against second string, is it time to panic? That's an interesting question. I think the context matters. You know, if there's a penalty or a dumb mental mistake, that's no cause for panic. That's something you go back and try to work on. If it's like a timing issue or a drop or a mistake made by the offense where they had it and they just didn't execute it for whatever reason, obviously that's not ideal, but you know, it's sort of like get it out now while you're in preseason still so that you're not worrying about doing that in the regular season. If it's like they're getting, the offensive line can't block the defensive line and Cam Ward's under immediate pressure and he's like forced to throw a short pass that gets broken up because there's blanket coverage on Carnell Tate and Wandale Robinson. If that's the reason they go 3 and out, yes, that would be time to panic. But it is also still just the first preseason game, so it doesn't really matter. Roster grids. I hope they do the Callahan again this year. Run, run, false start, screen pass, punt. Make sure Cam Ward has absolutely zero opportunities to get a feel for the game. Yeah, I know you're being sarcastic when you say you hope they do that. We hope they do anything but that. I hope they open up the preseason game with like a play action shot to Carnell Tate for a 65-yard touchdown, like, or at least an attempt at it. You know, just chuck it down the field on first down. See what happens. I would love to see Trevor Goosby next to Gunnar Helm in 2027. Hook 'em, Seab, 8135. Yeah, exactly. DJ Silent. Not every three and out is created equal. All right, that's going to do it for this stream. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. Make sure you like the stream. If you haven't liked the stream yet, we are not friends anymore, okay? That's just the simple fact of the matter. I went this entire time without even mentioning it, okay? There are 56 likes on this stream. There's almost 200 people watching me live right now. Like the stream if you're here. Thank you very much. Make sure you're subscribed to the Music City Audible. Like I said, I'll be back tomorrow with an episode covering the Tennessee Titans. There's no practice tomorrow, and I don't know what to talk about. I haven't figured it out yet. So if you have a specific topic you'd like me to cover, throw it in the chat. And don't just throw it in the live chat, because that's going to get lost to, like, that's going to evaporate when this is over, unless I'm re-watching my own stream. So wait 38 seconds-ish from now, leave it as a comment on this actual video, and tell me what you thought of practice there too. Like, subscribe, and until tomorrow, y'all stay safe out there. Thanks to everyone for joining, and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.